Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanigopal in for Tanzina Vega. For the past 2 years, Awkwafina has had an impressive run in Hollywood, from starring in Crazy Rich Asians and The Farewell to hosting Saturday Night Live. It would be understandable if she wanted to take a quick break from it all, but clearly that's not her style. This week, Awkwafina's adding yet another credit to her name, starring in a sitcom loosely based on her own life called Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. Here she is alongside B.D. Wong, who plays her dad, Wally.
Sometimes you make a big move because you think you're supposed to, and sometimes you make a big move because you're really ready to make a big move. But, you know, I'm always here.
Thanks, Dad. Because if, you know, if you did have that 500 to get my car out, that'd be that's all right.
On the show, Awkwafina's character is a relatable slacker living with her father and grandmother late into her 20s and struggling to keep a job. And while the circumstances are no longer true to her life, the vibrant Queens community depicted on the show still feels very real. That sense of community is something that resonated with B.D. Wong and his memories of growing up in San Francisco.
Looking back on my childhood, there was a real sense of Asian Americanness and Chinese Americanness around me that I think was very valuable. And at the time, I thought I was being forced to go to Chinatown once a week for my family to kind of give me a reminder of what it meant to be Chinese American. And now I'm really grateful for that. That was a really useful thing to happen to me because we had moved out to the avenues where there were not as many Chinese families.
Teresa Hsiao, one of the executive producers of Awkwafina's Comedy Central show, had a slightly different experience growing up in a small town in Massachusetts.
We were pretty much the only Asian family in the town growing up. So anytime we ever saw other Asian people, we would do the kind of like, hey, you're Asian too, head nod to them.
I sat down with B.D. Wong and Teresa Hsiao to talk about bringing Awkwafina's story to the screen. And I started off by asking them if they thought their family stories were worthy of being told on television when they were growing up.
I grew up much longer ago than Teresa did in a way where I think there was no concept of that. There was no sense of even what inclusion and diversity even were. They weren't words we used. And so therefore I considered myself culturally the opposite of what people wanted to see or wanted people to produce or generate content-wise.
What about you, Teresa?
And I think we grew up watching so many other people on screen. So
yes,
we grew up watching every other, you know, family on screen, but you never ever saw your family. So it wasn't even something that crossed my mind. Like getting into entertainment, it wasn't, oh, I want to, you know, showcase my community on screen. It was more just, oh, I love television and I want to be part of it. But it didn't even, you know, when Fresh Off the Boat came out, and obviously All American Girl back in the day, but when Fresh Off the Boat came out, it was sort of the first time where I went, oh, wow, people are interested in this and people are watching, people want to watch a family like mine. And it was mind-blowing. I really hadn't ever thought about it before.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that we think, people say things like, I saw myself or I didn't see myself. And I don't think people really understand what that really means. You know, it's not just like an employment opportunity. Oh, there are Asian people and I'm Asian. And so there's a kind of silent solidarity. There's a sense of reflection that you can't explain if you haven't had it. Which is that there's something missing in my life because there's nobody that looks like me on TV at all. Because the TV is such a influential kind of media tool, and it's being exploited and used by all these other people, and you're not a part of that conversation at all. So there's an actual feeling of exclusion that I don't think people really fully understand. They think, oh, you just want to see yourself or whatever, how cute or whatever. There's a real strong attachment you have that one feels. And I think that's super important because I think people devalue that whole equation. And it's becoming more and more clear how valuable it is.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, when we talk about representation and how important it is to the people who have not so far historically been represented, now that we're seeing this whole wave of exciting shows like yours and, you know, Fresh Off the Boat and what, come on, we realize that, you know, it is important for those people who get to finally see themselves. But we also realize, like, gosh, why were, say, white, you know, creatives not curious? Why were they not driving that? What about the lives of others, if you will, you know? And you realize, like, the barriers to getting people to see outside of their very narrow world views or whatever. And, like, I mean, I guess, Teresa, you must be dealing with this as a writer and as a producer, having encountered that in different writing rooms, I'm guessing.
Yeah, at pretty much the start of my career, every show I worked on, I was writing for people who looked different from me, or writing for cartoon characters who looked different from me, but families that weren't necessarily reflective of my own life. But I think it's one of those things where when we grew up, we just watched all these other people, and we were able to relate to all these other people, and we had crushes on all these other people, and, you know, we looked up to them, and we saw ourselves in Rachel from Friends or whatever it was. And so we were able to connect with a different culture and be able to kind of ingratiate ourselves to that culture. Whereas a lot of, perhaps white, people who always saw their own kinds of families on screen, they never got to see other cultures.
They never got to exercise that muscle.
Exactly.
That muscle that is a very usable muscle and very useful in your life to think outside of yourself.
And to think outside of yourself, to be able to see yourself in a different kind of world that you didn't grow up in. And I think, you know, I do think it did make me a better writer, because you're able to sort of empathize with other cultures and understand them a little better. And now, obviously, now that there's actual interest in showing these other communities, you know, it's really valuable and important, I think. And it's exciting, because now there are other writers out there who are coming from communities that have been traditionally underrepresented, and they can tell these stories.
And I think the non-specificness, you know, it's an Asian American family in this, it's specifically a Chinese American family in Queens in our show. And yet it's not a typically Asian American family, or one that is drawing on references that anybody has of past Asian American families that they have seen. It's its own family, which is ultimately an American family of a certain kind of configuration, a young woman still living at home with her father and her grandmother. And that's a configuration that anybody can recognize. It completely has nothing to do with them being Asian American, actually. And that's one of the great values of this show, is that it's not serving up something that's particularly expected. And so that allows people, I think, to relax and find universality in it, because it's even less alienating, because it's less different. It's not, oh, well, they're Asian, I could never be like that. It's like, oh, I see that kind of weird dynamic where this young woman is kind of at odds with living at home. That's a very entirely universal thing.
BD, you've spoken before about how a lot of the roles you were offered early on in your career were doctor roles.
Yeah.
Did that start changing at some point for you? Or has it changed?
Well, this is indicative of the fact that it's changed. And some of the work that I've done in the last few years since I left Law & Order have really proven to be me being allowed to be more of myself, which I was considered myself more of a character actor. And while I was on that procedural for 11 years, I kind of lost that identity and had to kind of get it back, as far as, not just as far as how I felt about myself, but how I felt other people perceived me, the industry perceived me. And so once I got back into character actor land, I felt more like I was myself as an artist. And this show is a part of that trend. And I do feel less of a pigeonholing feeling that I did before. You know, there was a point where my managers and myself and my agent sat down and said, you know what, no more doctors. We actually have to say, if it's a doctor, we probably shouldn't do it. Because I had worn so many lab coats and so many shows. That was a joke, that I would go to the fitting and see a lab coat on the rack and go, oh, you know, and kind of like throw my hands up, here we go with another lab coat, and try to kind of get them to tailor the lab coat so it looked flattering sexy lab coats. So that, I can't say that that's completely past, but I think I have allowed, at least for myself, to forge another kind of tributary in this kind of river of content that allows me to feel like I'm more myself as a creative person.
Now, The Takeaway spoke with Margaret Cho last month, and one of the things she talked about was the, you know, fairly widely publicized negative experience she had on her ABC sitcom, All American Girl, which came out in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Had a brief run. You played her brother.
Yeah.
What was doing that show like for you?
I was very close to Margaret, especially at that time, and it was really painful. It was very heart-sinking, kind of. We had such high expectations and high hopes for her as a young star, very similar to the feelings that we have about Awkwafina now. And this was at a time when they groomed comics for their own sitcoms, and she didn't get a fair shake from... really, in my estimation, as a person with a unique perspective and a point of view and a vibe. She didn't get the show that expressed who she was, which is why I'm so impressed and so excited for Awkwafina to be able to have that opportunity to be herself, to have the show reflect who she actually is, her sensibility as a comic, her sensibility as an actor, her sensibility, period, as an Asian person. And for there to be a kind of follow-through on all departments that allow her to put the show forth in a way that is authentic to her. Margaret was not so lucky, and it was a much earlier time in the development of the diversity discussion in a way that she was kind of shoehorned into this disinfected kind of equation. Yeah, yeah. And it was actually counterproductive to who she actually was. She was an equally kind of potty-mouthed, kind of edgy, really, and there wasn't as much cable content, or there was no cable content at that time. So imagine Margaret now as a, you know, it's a very similar kind of thing, and it's a really great comparison to make culturally between what they both went through. So it was very sad, and it was kind of like watching something that you have such high hopes for kind of slipping away, a kind of feeling of slipping away. And there was great joy in it, too. We were very proud of it. We were very happy to be working on it. There was lots of wonderful, good times. I made some of the best friends that I made during that run of that show. And so it was interesting. And I felt for her tremendously because she was, I would say, go so far as to say, a victim of a system that was not going to work for her.
I think maybe the difference, too, now is that obviously Awkwafina has so much more creative control, and we were able to tell the story from, you know, Asian American creators. We didn't, you know, the network afforded us a lot of leeway in terms of hiring, and they trusted us to hire people who we thought were right for the show, and not necessarily just, hey, here are a bunch of seasoned comedy veterans who haven't ever written for this kind of family before. So that was really important. And just, you know, this show really does represent her, and she was really able to put her stamp on it in a way I don't think that Margaret was able to with All American Girl.
Through no fault at all of Margaret's.
No,
I mean,
not at all. Yeah.
Unfortunately,
she should have been.
She should have been. And it's kind of a mind-blowing that the mechanism at that time was not in place to understand the power of saying, okay, who are you? And let's make you, you know, let's make sure that it's you, the core of truth of who you are is the core of the show, because
exactly.
The success that makes you a successful performer should be the same course essence. And so, you know, that seems like a no-brainer to us now when we look back. But instead, there was a very corporate kind of homogenization and a kind of like, oh, let's put it through this kind of mechanism that was tried and true for Ellen and for Roseanne, but it certainly did not speak to anything with a strong sense of individuality or
humanity.
Or humanity, really, or truth to her, who she is. Her story is equally interesting. The story they made up for her was really not particularly interesting at all. I think they thought at the time it was culturally interesting because it was juxtaposing the East and the West and all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it
in
was
a very
derivative.
Didn't 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 didn't
girl who's pushing back against the strictures and the confines of her traditional Eastern upbringing.
And I was kind of the model minority, kind of older sibling who created pressure for her in a way. So that's all, you know, even now when I say that out loud, it just seems so kind of tired and uninspired, really. But we made the most of it, and we did what we did, and we were proud of what we did, and I'm very proud of Margaret for having kind of done what she did with it. And then subsequently, she took that experience and made beautiful shows of her own out of it, you know, her own kind of commentary on what that past experience was like.
Yeah,
That was very valuable, too.
So, Teresa, last question here. I mean, you, this show, Awkwafina is Nora from Queens, is about to launch. It's almost 30 years after Margaret Cho, you know, tried her own show. I mean, I guess, how are you feeling now on the eve of this show launching on Comedy Central?
Oh, we're so grateful. We're so excited. And we're just, you know, Margaret Cho basically walked so that Nora could run. Like, without her and without people like her, we wouldn't be here today. I mean, she was such an integral part of Awkwafina's life and of my life, of thinking, hey, here's a really funny woman in comedy, and she's Asian. Oh my God. She really did influence both of us, I think, in terms of, wow, we can be that person too. And so it is exciting, because obviously there are not that many shows that feature our community, and there are not that many shows that allow Asian Americans to create this content. And so we're definitely excited. We hope people like it, but we're also really proud, not only obviously representation in front of the camera, but also, like BD mentioned, representation behind the camera, of having all female or Asian directors. Having 2/3 of our department heads on the crew were women. We're really proud of the show.
BD Wong is one of the stars of Awkwafina is Nora from Queens, and Teresa Hsiao is one of the show's executive producers. BD, Teresa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.